It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is. Well, it's come to this, Aaron.
Yes.
We're the last men standing.
I believe it started this way. Or no, we started with Santino.
Yeah.
That was the first. Hey.
We got to finish our story, bro.
Yeah. So is this when we now proverbially like, we're like, hey, we're going to be a team, but then one of us turns on each other. And I mean, which has to.
Wow. You're just going to just spell it all out, huh? We're not going to play it out. We got 17 weeks of TV to put together here, Aaron, and you already turned on me on the first episode. This will never work.
No, it will. You know why? Because I think when ratings start to go down, I can just air some cell phone footage of us getting into a confrontation at a Waffle House with each other.
Right, there you
go. And that people will really pay attention then.
Right. Yeah.
That one got me, man. I don't know.
Like, you know what would be funny is if, let's say, if you and I were going to redo a feud, right? But we mm-hmm. both had to write each other's promos.
you know something? I think if we did that, it would be just as good.
No, yeah, because. But here's the thing. It has to be on teleprompter. You can't see what the other guy makes. It's going to make you – so you don't have time to get out of it.
That's a new – yeah, that's definitely
– How good are you that you can get over your buddies writing promos for you that you know are going to bury you? But you're gonna
that
be,
would be the ultimate
I think
it
would be
right?
awesome, like, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, as a self-proclaimed ham and egger – from the wrong side of Massachusetts, a guy who sleeps in his own fluids every night because I'm just afraid of water. Let me tell you something, brother.
I would just be like, I would have you say stuff like, you know, I know Aaron is the better wrestler. I would just go straight for it.
Yeah, like, as an angry black man who uses race to get everywhere I need to go in life, I understand that I'm not going to play the race card this one. I have to pull the wrestling card. And
yeah, that would end badly, but it would be awesome for about 2 to 3
weeks. Yeah, we'd both end up getting fired, but it would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it would
literally
be awesome.
Back on here trying to start a podcast again.
Yeah. Oh, man. So a lot happened last week. You know, I didn't pay much attention to WrestleMania. You just kind of get past it. You kind of check on your buddies. I was happy for Drew, and then I was kind of mad. I felt like Drew. I get the storylines and the nature of the business, but I think Drew's hands down been one of the biggest, brightest stars who looks the part, is the part. He lives it, he breathes it. Him and Seth was phenomenal, and I just, you know, nothing. And for Damian Priest, congratulations. But the biggest thing that stood out to me was I just thought there was so many other ways to go in terms of getting guys over now. I think that's just changed so much. Like, if you watch, like, I watch WrestleMania 3 in its entirety on Easter. Like, that's my tradition is I'll pop in WrestleMania 3 and then, like, tell my kids, like, who this guy was and who that guy was, you know. And
Piper Adonis.
Oh, Piper Adonis, yep. You know what was a really good match, and I just didn't really get a chance because you get so caught up in – here's the thing. There's probably 5 – Hall of Fame matches in WrestleMania 3 alone.
Yes.
Maybe 6. Okay, because I'm going to tell you what. The Strike Force and Morocco and Orton is one of the best tag matches ever. Like, they just – Orton and Morocco just were such good heels, man. You know, like, you didn't even know who Tom Zink was, and the place was going crazy for him.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and
go ahead. Orton worked Easter weekend. Orton, I did one of my like two signings that I do a year, right? I was in West Virginia and I was signing next to Cowboy Bob. He worked that night. It was crazy.
Oh, and he probably still can go.
Yes. Yes. So, sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame as Ace. And I think he should be in the, since we're getting weird with the Hall of Fame, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame as Cowboy Bob Orton, because he was the best heater. I was a heater. Like him and Piper, like Piper gets all that credit, but you got Cowboy Bob standing behind him with his arms crossed, and every once in a while that deep voice on, you tell him, Piper. Like it was one of the, he doesn't get enough credit.
No, he doesn't. But it's funny, right? Like when we're talking the Strike Force, which is a team that doesn't get mentioned enough today, in my opinion, right? Like we had.
Well, which version? Which version was better? Tito and Rick?
Oh,
I say yes. But I mean, because Tito Santana is another one. Like,
there was no, in my opinion, there was never a question of who the Strike Force was. That was always them, you know?
But it just, okay. And I feel like every time we talk about wrestling now, there's that elephant in the room, right? Because Zinc just disappeared. He was just gone. They were literally in the thick of things.
Yep.
Went over at WrestleMania 3, which is huge back then. They beat two of the greatest heels to ever lace up boots. And then they just disappeared. There wasn't an attack. Yep. There wasn't, you know, it was just like, it's like he just didn't show up to work one day.
Yep.
And it kind of makes, and then eventually he showed up, I remember at WCW, as the Z-Man.
Z-Man, yep.
But it was like some time between it. It wasn't like overnight.
Well, I think, you know, again, and I'm not trying to patch old things, right? We're talking about moving forward. But if you do a degree of research into Tom Zink and some of the claims he made, and given recent events, you can probably connect a few dots, right? But that's the way it was then. I mean, that like, how different would his career have been? And neither of us were there, so we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I'm just saying, it's just, like, it makes you think now when guys, and it was always like the same kind of look, too, as like the Jim Powers, the Tom Zink kind of look, you know? It is, right?
It reminded me of the Young Stallions, man.
Young Stallions. like what?
Talk about guys that hated each other, and like you could tell, right? Like,
yeah.
I remember even as a kid, and correct me if I'm wrong, right? It was almost like that was the first original where, like, when Vince went national and, like, the WWF had its identity at the time.
Right.
Like, this is the template cookie cutter for what we want. Tan, mullet, jacked.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, you had that with the Strike Force for, like, the up-and-comers. And then you look at, like, Roma and Jim Powers, and you're like, on paper.
Rockers.
Yes. Red trunks, give them awesome jackets, and give them really cool entrance music.
Right.
I'm not like that. And Strike Force was awesome. You had Jimmy Hart writing it, who was, of course, award winning artist from the Gentries.
Yep.
And like you created this whole kind of, it was this rock and roll vibe, right? That's where the company was going. But you realized, like, you talk about just not gelling. Like, it's, and again, this is not a shot on either one of them individually, but sometimes when you have a partner, I mean, shit just doesn't work out no matter how hard you try.
Yeah. Just if the chemistry's not there, it's just not there. Mm. And or sometimes you just see things differently. You know,
yeah.
I think about my time when I was in Tons of Funk. I look back on it like Tenzai was always trying to like explain to me how it, like, don't look at it that way. Look at it this way. Like, and I just wasn't having it. I didn't want to hear it. So it became a bigger distraction. Not that, like, we could have done it. I mean, at one point, look like we're going to be tag champs, but let's be honest. Nobody was beating the Shield at that time. Not even close. I mean, and the direction they were going and given where the three guys of Shield ended up, I get it. But he was always trying to tell me, like, try to enjoy the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're worrying about stuff, you know, weeks down. Like, you're worried about all the wrong things, you know? And my thing was, well, that's easy for you to say. You were in the Attitude Era. You were this. You were that. You know, but it was always had a level of respect with Tenzai. And never, like, never dismissed what he said. I just didn't take it to the next week with me. You know, I'd get through the day with it. But then I'd walk back through with the same look on my face, like, man. And I think I was just always frustrated because I felt like I'm better than this and I don't like this. And I really hate untough people telling me how to be tough.
Yes.
You know, guys who've never been in a fight in their life is explaining to me what is tough. And I'm trying to keep a straight face half the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I never fought. And I've been probably bouncing clubs, bodyguarding, growing up being the way I did. I've probably been in 100 fights, maybe more. Especially in Saddle Ranch and stuff. I was fighting 2-3 guys a night sometimes. It was crazy. They weren't long fights, but I don't ever remember yelling rah or beating on my – well, I did beat on my chest sometimes playing around, like, afterwards. But like, I always had a smirk. You know, all the guys that I grew up with that could throw, they had a cool calm because they weren't worried about shit you had doing. The dude in the bar who's yelling and screaming, he's scared. He's peacocking. The guy who's sipping his beer and looking at you with a smirk and is like, all right, we'll ring the bell. That's the dude who could fight, because why would he be afraid if he knew what he brought to the table?
Yes. You know, and that's the thing. We're like, yes, it's so true, man. Like, people, like that whole bravado. And again, I've never claimed to be a tough guy. I
Most guys who can actually throw don't, because you don't have to claim it, because the only time you'll see it is if somebody fucked up. So there's no reason to walk around and be like, I'm a badass. Just ask anybody. Why do you need to tell me that? Like, what are you really hiding?
Yeah. And like, even that, and that was a problem that and you were there for this, when like, there was someone like, oh, well, you know, the standout character doesn't seem very tough. Like, no, you idiot. That is the point. Like,
you're trying to be a heel. Can you be like, let's just say, okay, let's say you are also bulletproof tough, the smartest guy in the room. What does the babyface have? What can he possibly do? You're gonna bury him on the thing with your intellect. Then the bell rings. You're gonna punch him in the face and knock him out with a. So what's next?
Yeah, and that's the thing to where it's just crazy, man. Like, it was one of those deals. I just feel like you do the best you can, and like every time I've ever kicked someone in the face or punched someone in the face or slammed them down, it's looked believable, okay? And that's the art of this, right? Like, you create the illusion of violence, but how you get there, that's where your character comes in, right? Like, you body slamming a guy and me body slamming a guy are two very, very different things. You drop an elbow on someone and the building shakes. When I drop an elbow, I do that little stupid thing in a twirl.
It was over. The building shook. And that's what, see, the thing is, like, Flair, like, you can say what you want about Flair, but Flair was a heel. As soon as he got hit in the mouth, he fell apart. Now, he could talk, he cut his promo, he had the suits, he had the titles, but, you know, Ricky Morton would come in there and punch him and whoop his ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gave the babyface something. You're a better wrestler than me, and you're a tougher man than me.
You have to.
But now it's like, here's the deal. Everyone wants to be Piper on the mic and Brock in the ring. You can't be both. There's nothing left.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how much of a bad day at work is it to where you got to have a pro? Like, you have a promo with Brock and he buries you, right? With some intellectual savior shit. Then the bell rings and he F5s you in the third row. But hey, the lockup looked good.
Yeah. 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 Like, you're right. Like, goodbye.
You gotta have your mistake game needs to be as strong as your promo game. You need to, as when you have physical attributes, you have to be able to make mistakes for other, whether it's slow and missing something, whether it's making a mistake. And I remember one time, what was it? I'll leave him out of it, but he was in a marathon match. He had to wrestle like three guys in one night to appease. He was being punished, I think, by we the people or whatever. And, I remember one of the agents said, hey, would it be cool in the third match that you were visibly fatigued? Like, you were running out of steam. you know?
Huh.
And the response was, no, I never blow up in the ring. Huh. And I sat there with a smirk on my face going, well, shit, then.
Mark.
Like, you're just too good. You wrestled three superstars. Right? You're winning all three, but you can't just survive on the third one. Like, maybe the first one, the guy goes, hey, it's your night. You make short work of him. Yeah. The second one's a battle, and the third one, you're coming down to the ring. You're still sweating. You got, you know, you do the best you can. You run out of gas, and you just find a way. And the heel makes a mistake, and you capitalize. I think that's a great story. Nope, I don't blow up in the ring.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Then, you know, yeah, like, okay, dude, you're a mark. You know what I mean?
Right. Whatever. Well, okay, but that's what I thought. But then while I'm sitting there and realizing that there will be people watching saying, oh, look at him, he's blown up.
Mm.
You know, that's how fucked up it is.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm saying, because this is a veteran. This wasn't like some Freeman. This is a former champion. You know what I'm saying? And he literally was sitting there like, I can't blow up in the ring. Because he knew the audience of one would see it and wouldn't see, oh, it's great theater. And to prove it, the deal with you and me in the leg, where I wore the damn boot everywhere I went.
You're right.
And what did I get in trouble for? Being slow getting in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. It was too believable.
Well, yeah.
Can someone give us a memo, please?
So like, I guess I should have I should have forgot it during my comeback, too. Because I move around a lot. I'm shooting a guy. I T-bone a guy halfway across the ring. I do hard in the paint where I'm running, jumping in the corner. Then I hit him with something else, either the fall of humanity or the grip or whatever the hell the deal is. But all that's boom, 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 moving. But if I only got one wheel, then something has to – I can't do the same comeback. Or the comeback turns into a falsie because I'm selling my leg that was clipped out from underneath me. And you're thinking – and we're thinking we're making magic here. Like the guys before us. But if the audience of one's having a bad day, oh, look, Brodus is out of shape. Pull the deal.
Yeah.
Because I remember Triple H goes, hey, man, old man really don't like the limping and all the other stuff. He says you look slow out there. And I wanted to say, is he a fucking mark? Maybe that's what I should have said.
Well,
you know, and instead of being like, all right, man, I'll fix it. Because you just get so frustrated. You know, like it might have been like, you know, let me talk to him. Like, bruh, you had me play. I pretended to break my leg on TV and it tricked old school agents that really thought that you broke my leg. So I'm working something here. Is that okay with you? You know, maybe that. What's the point of being attacked and trying to get the heel heat on the house shows and shit? It's not like I'm going to get 45 minutes of TV tonight. You're not going to allow me to have a 12-minute promo. You know, we got to do with what we got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking that's probably what I should have done. It would have sped up the inevitable.
Yeah.
Or it would have been like, you know, like Ted, like no one's ever talked to me that way before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's like, this guy's we'll always have got it. Team. Yeah, you know? Like, oh, so am I getting a push? Oh, no, you're fired. But I dig it, man. Dig it. You'll never work in this business again, kid. But, man, boy, do you got a set on you. Good job, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hey, it's like, you know, because the people who trained us, right, like we were trained by
– great storytellers.
Yes, exactly. They understand how, like, the nucleus of the business works, right? And where – people have gotten so far removed from it that, look, wrestling is evolving into something completely different, right? Where with our stuff, it was, again, everyone knows that it's entertainment, but we had the characters and the believability to where people suspended their disbelief. And had this been a territory system or, again, even the 80s for that matter, like, we know what business we would have done. And everyone sees it to this day. They talk about it. So it's like, okay, we have that, but it's testament to how weird the machine has gotten, right?
Yeah, the machine's not a machine anymore. It's and hopefully you like to see that change. But here's the problem. I think the biggest Well, one of the problems, two of the problems that make it to where it's hard to get back to the way it was. One, I don't think you should be able, you should call shots and be in front of the camera. I think that's a complete. You're not going to not push yourself.
Agreed.
You're not. You shouldn't be allowed to book and make decisions on talent if you're in front of the camera. Because you're gonna keep pushing your stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean,
perfect example. Like right now, like, and again, I'm not throwing shade here. I'm just stating the facts. Right now, in WrestleMania, the world champion was beat the night before by the whatever people's champion, the final boss, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. who's really the champ? Whose belt is more significant?
Yeah.
Because I beat you in the ring, middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3.
Well, belts are a joke now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. But like, and that, like the way I watched, right? I don't know. One guy's got the universal. The other guy has this weird looking version of Big Gold. Like, why the hell can't we keep Big Gold in the Winged Eagle, which is the way it should have been, my opinion, but that's
it. Yeah. I agree. But, and then you have the People's Champ or whatever the hell his new title is, which is the most dominant title because he beat the current champ.
Yeah, and it's like completely to me, that is like at the core, right? Like what's wrong with the industry to where like at least in NWA, right? I mean, hey, as a company, we've gone through ups and downs and everything, right? We're starting to get our footing again, truly get our footing again. And it's like keep the emphasis on the world title. That world title has to mean something, right? And it's we're starting to see – you know, and you know this because you've been keeping eyes and talking to us. Like we've been gaining more and more of an audience because of it. And I think that's the simplicity that's just gone, where everyone wants to just come back in for themselves.
Here's the thing: I watched that young kid Ospreay, I think it was, threw shade at Triple H.
Yeah,
that was probably the stupidest thing he's ever done in his young career. And the kid has all the talent in the world, all of it. Like he's, but it's misguided. It's all over the place. And now you throwing shade at the biggest company, which has an interest in you for what, 3,000 people? And I'm being polite. So the biggest, and here's the thing, the problem with AWA, you know what the problem with AWA is? The boys, they're going to ruin it. They're absolutely going to ruin it. Tony Khan does not need profit, okay? Tony Khan is doing this because you could say whatever you want negative. He obviously loves the business. He's giving fans another opportunity to watch wrestling at a high level on national TV. It ain't cheap, okay? And he's paying guys salaries that they would not get anywhere else. Not even close.
No, and that's the thing. So, like, and that you, now lowers the bar. I'm sorry.
It does. No. You're right. No. Let's we'll give a shit. We're at different places in our life. And so I'm not there because I don't need a job from AEW. Neither do you.
No, like, and I'm.
You know what I'm saying? No. So it's like, I don't need the job. I can say whatever I want. I think Tony Khan has been a gift to wrestling. The problem is that the boys don't know how to take a gift, they ruin it. The focus should have been last night should have been Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes. That should have been the focus, right?
Yeah.
Swerve is doing everything right. But Triple H and CM Punk, who work for different companies, were the biggest stories of last night. That is a problem. And there's this great Samoa Joe and Dustin do an exploder in the middle of the ring, and it was phenomenal and a great falsie. Problem was we saw one off the second rope three matches before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the boys. Yeah. That's not Khan.
And there's no, like, apparently, like, all right, so here's what I'm going to say, because this is, like I said, I'm in a position where I don't really need this, right? But, like, the standard of what is acceptable as a contracted television wrestler today is abhorrent. It is so far removed to where, and you know what? I don't give a shit if I sound old because I sound right. 20 years ago, if you said, I am a contracted talent with whatever, and there was only one company at the time, right? It was right after WCW went out of business, right? But even then, so, like, that meant you could at least get in there and have a passable match, and you had timing, and you had the little things done. Now we have, okay, you have a cool outfit and an Instagram following, and oh, yeah, you'll get a contract, and you're a team. No, you're not. You may be a good performer or a good acrobat or whatever you are. You are not a television professional wrestler held to the standard that was 20 years ago. You are not even close, because the only way some of these people would even be allowed in a locker room is if they were bringing us sandwiches. And if I could talk to Tony Khan, I don't think he listens. But
oh, I think he probably. But here's the thing. Yeah. I think he probably. The problem is, this conversation doesn't need to be happening by. This is what the back should sound like. But there's this, you know, WWE guys would have stuff, and then, you know, the old man walk in and rip it all up, and then you're done. You know, you get it, and then you have 7 minutes to write Raw. Good luck, fellas, because I don't like it. But the boys are ruining AEW because the work. There's no, you got to get stories. You need, when you look at that audience, if you don't see kids and families in the audience on national TV events, you're done. You have to grow your audience. You can't steal, like, oh, hey, we're going to get some guys to come over. Because here's the deal, audience don't go with you. Every wrestler who's like on his way out thinks, like, oh man, Planet Funk's rolling with me to Impact. No, they're not. They're staying because they're the universe. You know, guys always think, and it's not just wrestling. A guy's in NFL's career is not going, oh, I'm going to Canada. They're not going with you, bruh. They never go with you. They're there, and they're like, what's next? And here's the thing. There will always be a next. There will always be a new guy, because that's the way it works. You know, in all sports, in all entertainment, it's not, nothing's promised. But the boys are killing AEW. To cut a promo on Triple H was about the stupidest thing the young kid could do, because here's the deal. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to forget. And eventually, if you're going to be the best, you're going to end up in the WWE. The only guy who was able to not do it, and he did it at the very, and it didn't count in my opinion, was Sting.
Yeah.
Because he had viable place. He had a viable place to go to make money to where he can live his life comfortably, and stayed because he wanted to be there or whatever. I don't know his stuff, but I'm just saying, you don't bury the other program on your program because it only adds ratings to the other program. The entire should have been talking about Dustin being screwed last night by Samoa Joe hitting him with a belt in the face and costing him an opportunity at the title. No, CM Punk was right. And listen, I like Phil. Phil and I are cool. I got no problems with Phil. Phil was fair to me. Gave me opportunity, had a match with me that allowed me to have a match with him at Raw that they wanted to be like, it was, and he was like, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this shit because I know who, he had a lot of respect for me and TJ, and he did that. So it Phil's what he is. He'll come up to you. I remember he came up to me when I came back from filming the movie in NXT, and I had to, they had dyed my hair blue in the movie, and I didn't cut I didn't feel like cutting my mohawk, and I came back to TV, and it was like a little bit of the blue was still in there or whatever. He says, hey, man, you got it all. You don't need that blue hair. Please cut it off. And I was like, hey, man, I appreciate you taking time to watch my match.
Yeah.
And I went, I was like, yeah, you know what? And I cut it, you know? Like, you're right. He's right.
Dude, like, him and I, we have been cool since day one, and I was like 2004. Never had a cross word between us. And then, like, I consider him – like, again, we don't text and hang, but, like, I'm friendly with him. You know, it's always been every interaction's a positive with him. So I got no heat at all with him either, man.
No, I think, again, people who – again, but also we weren't competing with him at the time for his spot. So those who did it, right back, them who clashed heads. And because here's the deal. Everyone's fighting for one spot. They're not going to add extra spots for you. And no. Guys play by any means necessary, as we've learned shockingly over the last 3 or 4 months. So, but I always judge people on their interactions with me. I don't listen to what other people say.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the problem is, right? Like, okay, yes, there's one spot, but I've always had the philosophy, fine. if this is one spot, I will create a spot for myself, right? And then when you do that and it works, it's like, oh, no, that's the issue, right? But if you look at, and I'm not comparing myself to these people, but look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was given the opportunity to get something over, and he was pushed accordingly, right? The Rock, same thing. It was based on fan response. And in my career, when I have generated a great kind of fan response that's grown and grown and grown, it's like they give you so much, and they cut it out, right? It's the same thing with you. Now, for whatever reason, right? This is not an act, you know, accusatory podcast or anything like that. We're just spitballing and bullshitting. But you tend to think of that and go, oh, okay, well, obviously there's limited opportunity. And it's cool now, right? And people don't understand. And this is like to the boys in AEW, the locker room, like the opportunity they have, if they could just listen to some people, right? Like, again, Tony Khan, the amount of resources he has put into our industry has created a lot of opportunity. How you're delegating those resources, you know, if you could change that, right? Hire a booker, someone to do the storylines, hire someone, you know, there's going to have to clean house with talent, get select people in there and really create something awesome as opposing to creating content, because content, you know, like there's too much focus on content, not enough focus on quality.
Taking shots at the WWE when you're trying to build your brand is stupid. I'm telling you right now. And having and talent going out there and like, oh man, I just buried Triple H. I said that he slept his way with his, you know, whatever to get where he goes. Triple H was getting finishes in pig shit for a while. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. Yeah. And Triple H and I, the one thing we could always talk about was boxing. You know, and we were cool in the beginning and then after Mania, and then all of a sudden we weren't. I never knew why, didn't ask.
Same here.
Didn't really give a fuck, to be honest with you. Didn't give a fuck. Like, I was, push was going to shit. I'm like, don't. I got bills to pay. We went from, hey, what's up, to nothing, to he wants to talk to you about doing that shit with Miz when what's his name came out, and he's like, you got a problem with it? And I was like, when have I had a problem with doing work? And I was just like, you know what, fuck this, I don't care. Fuck him, I don't care. You know, it was just like, that's, he didn't care about me, I didn't care about him, that's the way I am. I'm not wasting my draw. I'm not going to be like, hey, can we fix this? And that was where I was at then in my mindset. Is that good for your business when you're your business? No, it's not. Because, you know, hey, fuck that guy. That's the guy who decides whether you eat or don't eat in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, having that attitude back towards them and saying like, hey, something I miss. I feel like our relationship's changed. Something I'm not doing. You know what I'm saying? But at that point, I was just like, dude, I'm lucky I don't punch somebody at work right now. I'm so frustrated. So which would really fuck up some worlds to find out that some of your so-called super tough guys aren't that tough. But you look at that. But I never, when I see guys come out and they try to bury the other side, or they try to bury somebody, you're making a huge mistake, because it's not affecting Tony Khan's bottom line. It's not going to affect AEW's bottom line. Let's say shit don't work out. Let's say you get buried by whoever the top guys there are. Say there's another situation where your things don't work out there. Now you're out of there. That bridge is burned or whatever the situation is. You've buried the other bridge by talking about it. I'm just going to work the indies. Eventually you're going to get hurt. You got insurance, bro? Especially when you fly all over the place. And he fly, the dude does shit. He's like reinventing. He's like, he reminds me of the Blue Blazer, of Owen Hart, when Owen was first coming out. That, he is that sick. Now, with his aerial stuff, you know, his psychology and stuff, that will come with time. And a couple of nights of not being able to sit up straight might cure some of that. But he's just a young kid, and I hate that he's narrowing his opportunities to be the best at what he does by falling for this trap. Like, WCW and Raw were doing it, but they were both made. They were both made.
Exactly. You know what? I do disagree with you on one point where, like, maybe he'll get the psychology. Who's he going to learn it from?
That's true.
In order for him to get true psychology, he's going to have to go to WWE, because I don't see him out there. This is nothing against Will Ospreay. I think I met him once, and he was very, very kind. But like, go to Dustin. I mean, like, hey, how do you really do this? You know, you figured there'd be more of that. Like, I would be such a sponge, right? And it's just sad. It really is.
When I saw that stupid video of two guys who really didn't want to fight, they fight. I just saw it was an NXT match, and I came back from my match, and Punk walked up to me just like he did him, and he criticized the growing my hair out thing, like, you know. But he also Punk usually gives you a couple compliments before he throws it in, or he'll throw it and then give you some compliments. But he's coming up and talking to you because he sees something as a top guy. So
yeah,
Taker was a dick to me my entire time there. He would tell his corny ass jokes about my hair, and I'd always had two or three lines for him, but he was Taker. You knew it. Like, I would say something like, that motherfucker talking shit about me and burn half his face. A millionaire and you got the worst hair dye on the planet. All kinds of shit. You still wearing eyeliner? You know, there was stuff that I fired back, but he was Taker, so I didn't. I just took it. And I didn't want, and sometimes I was like, I remember one time I'm wrestling Edge, the heavyweight champion on SmackDown, and he tells me to fire up when I'm standing over him. So you guess what? I did it. Came back through the curtain. Taker was waiting on me and was like, you're trying to win a championship and you're firing up. And my eyes started to look towards Adam, and I just went, my bad. Wow. You know, and Adam was standing there. Adam could have jumped in and been like, oh, Edge, you know, hey, I told him to do it. And he didn't. You know why? Because it was Taker. And we just took it. And I got the brunt of it, and I didn't like it. But I didn't go to Impact and get on the mic and start burying everybody that things didn't go my way.
No.
Nobody knew my problems or my issues there because it was nobody's business.
Exactly.
And I think once you throw those shots, where are you going to go? So the biggest thing was Triple H and CM Punk. So all those matches and all that hard work that everybody did that night, no one's talking about. For a video that didn't help anybody but Punk, it's just basically what he said happened.
Wow.
Didn't help, you know, like, what was the point of that? I think in their minds it was going to make him look bad. He got in more shots than he did his UFC fight. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a win for him. And he had control. Yeah, like, Samoa Joe doesn't step in. It was over.
Yep. But
should you be throwing hands at your workplace of business? No. Should he have been suspended for that? 1,000%. Jungle Boy, I don't see what he did to be suspended, to be honest with you.
Okay, now, I'm going to take Punk's side on this.
Yeah.
On this. What he did with that real glass bullshit, and that is all that is, real glass. Why? Are fans going to tell? I mean, are you that insecure about yourself as a performer? Number one, and are you that inconsiderate of everyone else who's going to have to perform after you, right? And then, like, you're not clearing this with anybody. It's stupid.
So, in my opinion, fill me in because I have no idea. What did he do? I thought he just had a bad match or something.
No, the whole issue, like the whole impetus for this was Jungle Boy did a spot and wanted to use real glass. I don't know if it was a car window or lightning bulb, but he wanted to use actual real life, not fake at all, glass. And Punk pretty much said the same thing I just said. And Jungle Boy said, what? No, and like kind of fired up on him.
Didn't he say something like, what do you want to do about it?
Or something like that. Like, who the f*** are you?
This is one of the reasons why Steven Regal leaving AEW burned so much, because nobody has to fight. You don't have your hands at your side telling somebody to make a move. You know what I'm saying? Like, who has these fights? Who fights like this? Were you that close to somebody? If you're within 8-9 inches of me talking about a fight, I'm swinging. Like, it's a game. My hands are up. Like, let's go. We're past talking at this point. You're in my bubble, and you're not one of my children or my woman. It's on, bro. We gonna throw. And usually I don't have, you know, I've never had, like, return fire. So, but I fired.
Jab, cross.
Yeah,
cross,
like, hey, you know, good night, Irene, which is the name of my truck, by the way. It was so great watching WrestleMania 3 because Irene. But to that point, though, but I can remember those times I came back through the curtain that I just wanted to say, get off my f***ing back, man. You know what I'm saying? Like the Funkasaurus crap. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, Taker was tough on me, you know? And it, had it not been at Dusty's funeral, I probably would have hated him the rest of my life. But he came up to me and he made a joke about my hair again. And I was, and he's like, he said something else. And he was like, well, you know, I'll get you rolling around. I said, hey, I don't work there anymore, man. And he didn't know. And he was visibly like, oh, man, I didn't know that. I'm really sorry to hear that. So
do you think you are? Do you honestly think he was telling the truth there? Just saying. Just playing. You
know, there was no point not to at that point. Because if all I can do is judge people off me. Like, I was, after I realized that Freeman really didn't listen or retain anything, I was done with him after, you know, how many weeks of trying to get him to realize the most important thing in his match is not his little fire-up dance.
Like trying to eat soup out of a strainer.
Yeah, it was just like, and then I got to the point, like, I'm not dealing with you. Like, just don't come to me for nothing, because I've tried to help. The other guy, the boys are all taking their time, and you're doing the, Arn Anderson always gave me one rule. He was like, you can make mistakes, you just can't make the same mistake twice.
Thank you. And right, then, bingo, that's life right there, yeah. Right?
And once you did, Arn was done with you.
Yeah.
And
yeah, dude.
I'm just saying, but yeah, it was simple. No. So, you know, so for that reaction from Taker, you would think if a guy really didn't like you, he would have laughed. It's my mentor's funeral. It's not like a fight's going to break out. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was the safest place to be like, yeah, good riddance. You know what I'm saying? Or like, oh, that wasn't fast enough. Because it was guys who would say shit like that.
Yes.
Maybe not to your face, not to my face, but they would say it. Like, oh, man, fuck him. You know? He didn't. And he seemed visibly bothered by it. So that's when I looked at, you know what? It was just a hard, he was just being a tough coach. And I'm cool with that. I just, because it's one of those things, somebody you admire so much, and every time they talk to you, it's negative. You just, after a while, you don't admire him anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that. I really, really,
you know what I'm
get
saying?
That.
Like, it's like one of those things where, like, I don't know if I, maybe if I had, you know, it was just one of those things where I didn't care about anything he had to say. I didn't want to say hi to him. I didn't want, when he was there, I was like, oh, here we go. All right, you know, I'd be like, oh, hey, it must be WrestleMania time. Taker's coming to take all the airtime and money. Like, I would just be like, you know, Kane's my favorite because he worked every day and he was nice to us. You know, like, I would say all the time, like, man, I'm feeding for Kane's. I will run uphill both ways to feed for Kane. Anything he wants, he's got it. The other guy, I don't know. My leg hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just.
Hey, man, you give what you get.
Hey, that's you know.
Give what you get.
Gotta be me.
You know something? Like, what you just said. All right, this is the dark side of the wise men episode.
Yes.
Because this is, and I think you'll agree with me. Of course, it's just the two of us. Yeah. like
this, and our one viewer, the kid on the other side of the thing, is like, they're talking so much shit. I love it. We're not.
Yeah. But it's the worst part about being a wrestler and accomplishing your dreams, right? And look, if you were a kid and you said, hey, Haku's going to be your child's grandfather, you would have never believed that, right?
So it's
that's magical.
That's also a testament to realize if someone's like, oh, I don't know if Tyrus was actually tough. Be like,
there you go.
Well,
there you go. Talk to COC. You know what
you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I always would laugh and stuff. And it'd be like, oh, man, you guys, stop, man. You never been in a real fight, bro. Nobody feeds on a fight, bro. You know what, man? I know you're about to finish your point, but Cornette is probably he is probably the greatest booker manager that you never knew booked. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did it. He didn't make sure that he was champion. You know what I'm saying? Because, I remember.
He's amazing.
FCW. Like,
personally,
go ahead.
About all that.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, But I just remember Dusty, I had gotten, I don't know, I said something and he didn't like it. And he's like, you know, if you'd ever shut your mouth, man, you'd probably be a world champion. You know, like me, I care. I held a title 3 times. What are you going to do? I said, hey, boss, weren't you the booker?
Bingo!
Remember that? He's like, you can go home. He's you're too smart. Like, you're too smart for your own good, kid. Like, shut up. And yes, I was the damn booker. Because I knew what everybody else should have known. that I was fire, baby. I was like, well, let me book for a couple shows at FCW, and I'll show you that same fire, if you will. He's like, I will not. Oh, by the way, you're wearing trunks now, smart guy. Nothing else. Have a good day. But I mean, Ducksy was a great booker also. That's the lost art in wrestling right now as a booker. Agents need to have power. They need to rein guys in. They need to protect guys from themselves. Now, it was the fear of us disappointing the guys that we watched. If Mike Rotundo came up to me and said, your match sucked, it bothered me all weekend. I don't know if that's the same thing anymore. I don't know.
No, honestly, like some of the agents, like, and again, the flip side, when you had an agent that you connected with, like, again, Arn, Rotundo, Fit, you know, and I know you and Dean had your thing, but you guys were cool in the end.
No, listen, Dean didn't like me for all the wrong reasons because he didn't know me. He just assumed that I fit that bill, unfortunately, because let's be honest, there was a lot of guys who just were big, who showed up and tried to get a check, didn't really give a shit about wrestling. Him and the first impressions are everything. They played that prank on me with the boots and stuff, my first house show.
Yeah,
and Dean Malenko was my agent, and he was like, you didn't even have boots? Like, fuck you. You know what? I probably would have done the same way. Like an NWA, and a guy shows up for his first match, and he doesn't have any boots because he thought someone told him to wear work boots to the ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd be sitting there going, who is this fucking guy? You know what I'm saying? No, so being able to go from that to literally every time I did something stupid, i.e. the bar in Germany, statutes of limitations have run out, and I don't plan on going to Germany anytime soon. But you beat up a whole bar in Germany, and you destroy a hotel room, and Dean Malenko's trying to figure out who did it. And he said, there's blood everywhere.
Lobby, dude, just saying.
Yeah, you know. I'm just, could have been anyone, man. You know, never know what happens. I mean, you said there was blood on the glass, sir? Well, my hands clearly aren't cut. So in the spirit of OJ, I'm not cut. Guess it wasn't me, boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Say that. Well, wow. Yeah. Timing is everything, right?
Yep. Sure. And then I remember, could have been me, might have been me. Don't know. Wasn't sure, but definitely not bleeding. So ergo, I guess it was somebody else. And I remember, and then everyone started confessing their sins about stealing alcohol bottles and little tiny alcohol bottles and stuff. And I remember Cena walked up to me and goes, hey, and this is world champ Cena. That was the most stupidest, brilliant speech I ever heard in my life. You're a wow, man. Just wow. You pulled it off. I didn't think you could do it, but you did it. And Malenko's like, I'm going to find him. And I'm like, I hope you do. And then we just kind of looked at each other, you know, and then
that's it.
And then the WWE started investigating. And I just remember Triple H and them liked it so much that they liked it. But they were like, hey, this dude's a tough guy or whatever. So they ended up letting me stay an extra week on the tour. And I had to go tell Malenko that I was going to be on for another week. And I remember him just looking at you like, man, if I didn't think you hit me, I'd punch you in the face. Like, but I apologized to him. And I said, Coach, I let you down. And I know I shouldn't be allowed on that. I should, you know, be sent home or whatever. But he was like, listen, man, I can tell you there's been a few nights that, you know, I made some mistakes in wrestling. Like, hey, I get it. But, you know, you got to be better than that. But I respect you man to man, you know, and then it took a long time. I got, you know, and then finally one night I had him as an agent on Raw against Truth. And he came over to me and goes, hey, you remember Big John Studd's body backbreaker? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I think you should do that. And that to me was one of the coolest moments, throwing Truth up on my and having him goes, there's your hold. It's yours. And I literally that was for me, like, I'm good with Malenko. And that meant everything to me because I. A man of 1,000 holes, he was one of my favorites to watch work, hands down. Yeah. Because he just did everything
that's
right.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can have moments if you humble yourself. And I think that's the thing with if I said anything to the young AW guys, you got to humble yourself a little bit and think big picture, as Dr. Tom would say. Not what's in front of you. You got to look big picture. Is this promo worth it? All you did was let everybody know that Punk and the WWE are winning last night. That's all you did. And it wasn't even a contest. Don't mention them. It's a different animal. Yep. Just leave them alone. They are Devo. Devo, rest his soul. We are the redheaded dad. No, get in the car. I told you not to mess with those people. Leave them alone. Build your own mountain.
Don't hate, create.
Yes, there you go. We'll end it on that. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Hashtag don't hate, create. This is the longest I've gotten along with you in ever. So let's just.
Well, we are on the air.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if you will have the good form to not let anybody know that we had an enjoyable conversation, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely. And maybe chop this into like 4 episodes so no one gets.
Yeah, both. Let's spread it out.
Yeah. All right.
All right, man. Well, apparently hell has frozen over. We're getting along. All right. We'll see where this goes. Enough said.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.